Okay, open your Bibles up to 1 Peter 1, verse 18, and I'll pray for us. Father, we thank you in the name of Jesus for this opportunity to worship you in spirit and in truth. The Holy Spirit is here to teach us and guide us, show us how to rightfully divide your word of truth. As he teaches us your word, you've given us the spirit of wisdom and revelation, so that we're able to look in your word and learn from it. As we learn of Jesus, we can operate in this kingdom the way he desires us to. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, I get all my glasses. I got these notes, and they're wrote in my old Bible. But I used to do that all the time. Instead of getting a piece of paper, I'd write it all out in my Bible. So bear with me a little bit. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18. Early on, when I started getting in the Word, I ran across this set of verses here, and it hit me in the spirit, and I knew that was my answer, and I just couldn't quite get the full depth of it. Verse 18 says, "Forasmuch as you know that you are not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by traditions from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God, that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God." Now, when the Holy Spirit impressed that set of verses on me, I had the understanding for a little bit that all my blessings were tied to the blood of Jesus. And I just couldn't quite get my teeth sunk into it. And then, you know, just the way things go, it kind of slipped away a little bit. And I caught myself trying to earn blessings, and, you know, I didn't understand righteousness, I didn't understand forgiveness, I didn't understand a lot of things that the blood of Jesus did. And then later on, after, you know, continually learning of Jesus and learning from him and learning about what he did on that cross, then one day it hit me. Absolutely. Beyond a shadow of a doubt, he dropped that in my spirit. He says, "Is there anything that you could possibly do that would be more valuable than the blood of Jesus?" Said, "Well, no. There's nothing you could do that would be more valuable than the blood of Jesus." "Then quit trying to earn something from God. You're not going to twist his arm into blessing you." Amen? You're not going to earn something from him that he's already given you. Freely with Christ Jesus. He's given you all things with Christ Jesus. Also, God said he would not be a debtor to no man. I mean, he's not going to owe anybody anything. See, this will clear up a lot of traditions that people have learned. There's nothing that you can do that's more valuable than the blood of Jesus. Nothing. The only thing you can do is sit down and receive what he has freely given you. Amen? Now look at 1 John 1:9. We'll start at verse 1, I'm sorry. I want you to see something. that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. See, God did not put anything in the Bible by accident. I want you to look down to chapter 2. So, my little children. Now look at chapter 3. It says, beloved, what manner of love, behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. Look down to chapter 4. It says, beloved, believe not every spirit. Look at chapter 5. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone that loveth him that begot loveth him also that is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God. Now, go back to chapter 1. It says, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life, for the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us. Do you see the difference there? John's talking to somebody. And he's not talking to Christians. Everywhere else, when he's addressing Christians, he said, beloved. And he starts talking about us. But look at this. There's a different tone here. He says, we're showing to you that eternal life, which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us, that which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you. He's not talking to Christians. He's witnessing to somebody. That you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with the Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. This then is the message which we have heard of him, and declare unto you that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. That's where we are as Christians. That verse, John was telling these what he was doing. He was witnessing to Gnostics in this chapter. He was telling these people about Jesus. And he was telling them, said that if you walk in the light, as we are in the light, the blood of Jesus continually cleanses you from all sin. See, that's where Christians need to be focused on in this chapter is verse 7. But what happens is we end up in verse 9. That if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's the truth. But that's before you get born again. You say, Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I want you to be my Lord. Then he's faithful and just to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. That's what happens when you get born again. You get made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. That means you've been cleansed from all unrighteousness. What happens is people get taught, you got to continually confess your sins. You want to know what happens when you run around and you continually confess your sins? I mean, you continually think about your sins. I mean, you continually think about them so much till you end up with a sin consciousness and you walk in defeat and condemnation. But if you walk in verse 7 knowing that you've been cleansed by the blood of Jesus, you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, you've been made a new creature in Christ, then you're walking in a righteousness conscience, which is what God wants you to do. He wants you to walk in the understanding that you know what Jesus did for you on that cross. Amen? Now, if you just have to talk to God about sin, say, thank you for forgiving me of this, but it really annoys me, I don't want to do this, can you help me with this? And he will. But he's already forgiven you of it. That's the most important thing to know. He's already done that. So you've been cleansed and you've been forgiven by the blood of Jesus. It's not your confession that's going to cleanse you. Only the blood of Jesus can cleanse sin away. Now let's look at Acts chapter 17, verse 24. Acts chapter 17, verse 24. God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwells not in temples made with hands, neither is worshipped with men's hands, as though he needed anything, seeing he gives to all life and breath and all things, has made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on all the face of the earth, and has determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation, that they should seek the Lord, if haply they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being, as certain also of our own poets have said, for we are also his offspring. We've been made one body. When you get born again, you get baptized into the body of Christ. That's the one baptism that is necessary for salvation. That means every single born-again believer is part of the body of Christ. I didn't say every single person that goes to church every Sunday. Every single born-again believer. There's a difference between Christians and churchgoers. There's a lot of churchgoers that haven't been born again. There's a lot of born-again people that don't go to church a lot. See the difference? There's a lot of people that understand what the blood of Jesus did for them on that cross. There's a lot of people that are trying to earn it. We've been made one body. There's an interesting thing about this. It doesn't matter if you're a Baptist, Catholic, Methodist, Word of Faith, non-denominational, it doesn't matter. If you're born again, you're in the body of Christ. Amen? Now let's go to Acts chapter 20, verse 28. Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he has purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them. Therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. You know, you have been purchased with this blood of Jesus. He purchased the whole thing. I can't. I'm sorry. Sometimes I just got to look down. You're just going to have to put up with my mumbling a little bit. I can't keep my head up and read. But here's the thing. It happens in almost every community. There's somebody that started a church, and I think it belongs to them. The church belongs to Jesus. Absolutely, 100%. Absolutely. I was listening to Jesse Duplantis. He went to preach at a place one time, and he pulled up in the parking lot, and there was people out there in the parking lot fighting over a pew. They dug the pew out of the church. They were fighting over this pew. And they said, well, that's ours. We paid for that. See, people put their names on things. But what they have to realize is the name of Jesus has been placed on the church. It belongs to him. It's his, 100%. It doesn't belong to the pastor. It doesn't belong to anybody. It belongs to Jesus. When you give money into the offering, you're giving it to God. Here's one of the dangerous things, and it happens all the time. People toe tag it. They'll write a little note on the check that said, this is for this, this is for that, and this is for this. And we had that going on here when we first came here. We actually had some money that was tied up. We couldn't do anything with because it was supposed to be for mission trips. And that money was just sitting there, but we couldn't touch it because it was toe tagged for mission trips. It wasn't that big of a deal here because it was $120, but we got all that freed up, got everything in the general fund so we could operate. But there's people that have gotten in real trouble because somebody would toe tag $50,000. Say, this is going to be for this. And somebody would toe tag $50,000 and say, this is going to be for that. So here's this ministry organization that has this money allocated to these different things, and they cannot legally so what they're basically doing is saying, God, you can only use this money for my personal agenda. See how dangerous that is? That's crazy. But when you give money into the offering plate, are you giving it to a man, or are you giving it to an organization to have control of it, or are you giving it to God? This would help somebody. There's people I know that have gotten burned. You know, the ministry for some reason would have. I've heard it about, I don't know how many times, $200,000 in the bank account, and all of a sudden they don't have none, and the preacher's gone, and they're mad. Or they have $150,000 in the account, and all of a sudden the preacher rolls in with a new car. And so people quit the church, they scatter, and they go all over the place, they do whatever. And they say, you know, I gave money into the church, and I know of a couple that gave $30,000 into a little church, but it was a higher up in the church organization came to that church and said, we need that money for missions in Africa. So they took that money to spend it in missions in Africa, and they couldn't fix their church. So people were mad. I said, look, did you give it to that man, or did you give it to that preacher, or did you give it to the church, or did you give it to God in a true, honorable, faithful heart? Who did you give that money to? See, if they don't understand. You're giving it to God. He didn't lose that money. He still got his blessings attached to that. But people can't see that. I know one time, pastor and his wife rolled into church. They had a brand new car. And they said, well, we had a need. We didn't have this car. And people just scattered like rats. And this lady was really tore up about it. She's telling me about it. And I said, did you give the money to him or did you give it to God? See, you take the sting away if you give it to God. You got to understand that everything belongs to him. He's letting us be stewards over it. Amen? He bought it with his precious blood. He paid the ultimate price for it. It's all his. Now, let's go to Romans chapter 5. Verse 9. Romans chapter 5, verse 9 says, much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. That's a verse that a lot of people need to look at. You cannot be justified until you've been judged. It's impossible. You have to be judged before you can be justified. And it's by his blood that you got justified. You got to understand that when Jesus got on the cross, all of your sins got laid on him. That means when Jesus got judged, so did you. You got judged, your sins got judged. And then when God raised Jesus back to life, you got justified freely by his grace. I like what my pastor says. Justified, never sinned. Because that's the way God sees it. Just as if you had never sinned. That's how completely perfect the blood of Jesus washed you clean. So what about this other part? It tells us that we've been saved from wrath. You know, there's a lot of Christians that lie awake at night that worry all day, worried about the wrath of God. They do. Schizophrenic Christians. They're scared. They're scared about the judgment day. They don't understand that Jesus did a perfect work in them. He cleansed them. In God's eyes, they're innocent. Though they may make mistakes. The blood of Jesus still continually cleanses them. There's no need for Christians to walk around in condemnation and fear of God's wrath for that day when they're going to answer for all their sins, because they already did when they said, "Jesus, be my Lord." And the blood of Jesus washed them away. Now, there are people that do have to worry about the judgment day. If they've not been born again, they will answer to God. They will. You made your answer. When you said, "Jesus be my Lord," that was your answer to God. That was the answer he was looking for. There's people that are convinced that they want to go to hell. They say, "I like hell. That sounds like a good place for me to go." Really? You'll find out it's not so comfortable. Let's get one more. Go to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7. In whom, see, remember I tell you to go in there and find these places where it talks about you, where it says in Christ, and this is one of them. This is one of the new creation realities. It says, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. Our redemption is wrapped up in the blood of Jesus. Our redemption cannot be earned. Our redemption cannot be deserved. Our redemption is only through the blood of Jesus. And then look down here, verse 8, wherein he has abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he has purposed in himself. It's always through the blood of Jesus. Everything, absolutely everything, is because of the blood of Jesus. There is no salvation without the blood of Jesus. You know, there's no healing without the blood of Jesus. He had to shed his blood for us to be healed. By his stripes, we were healed. We have protection through the blood of Jesus. The New Testament promises are sealed in with the blood of Jesus. Everything in the Old Testament was purged by blood. And now in the New Testament, everything is covered. Everything is washed away by the blood, cleansed by the blood. We're protected by the blood. And our promises are assured us by the blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus is the most powerful substance that's ever been released on this earth. Just as an interesting adventure for you sometime, go find out all these different things that the blood of Jesus has done for you. And now that you know that you're saved by grace and you can't earn it, go into Leviticus and look at all of them Old Testament sacrifices and see the types and shadows of Jesus in there. The first time I read Leviticus, I thought, "Oh my God, what did I just do?" I thought that was crazy. That was the craziest thing I ever read. Now that I know from the side of grace, and I'm seeing the sacrifice of Jesus in there, in those Old Testament sacrifices, it's pretty cool. It gets pretty fun, actually. And you get a deeper revelation of Jesus. Well, thank you, Father, for your word. We praise you in the name of Jesus. We thank you for everything that Jesus does for us on a day-to-day basis. Everything that he has done for us in his death, burial, and resurrection. And we thank you, Father, for everything that Jesus will do for us when he completes our redemption and we see him face to face. We thank you for these things in Jesus' name. Amen.